discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God does not change. And that is the life that we have received. It says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything He is, that is why He told Abraham, He said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave Himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God Himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified in you.
Now, in this book, it is supposed to help you never to become a church killer, but to become a church builder. Amen. And today we are going to try and share something from this book. Let us pray. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for this great opportunity to come all the way to Kumasi to share your word. We pray that your word will come forth with power and clarity, and that our lives will be changed and transformed because of your word. We bless you. We honor you. Let the power of God be present to heal, to change, and to transform us. We thank you and we bless you for Love Economy Church. Thank you for Bishop Isaac. Thank you for Pastor Kobe. Thank you for Lady Reverend Dr. Yvonne. Thank you. Now, Lord, use me to share your word in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. All right? The Bible says, and I say also unto thee. All right? I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, one of the questions that I want to answer this morning by the grace of God is, why is the church important to me? Because a lot of people think that the church is important to the pastor. Isn't it? You think, you meet your church members and they say, I come to your church. You know, that's not the right thing to say. You should say, I come to our church. Not I come to your church, because a lot of people want the church to be like it's the pastor's property. So they don't own it because they have never understood why the church is important to them. You see, the only thing that God says is building, Jesus said he was building, is the church. He did not say, I will build your business. Only two people are saying, hey. Yeah. He did not say even, I will build your marriage. Yeah. What a shock. He did not say, I will build your stomach. Yeah. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So therefore, it would interest you to be part of what Jesus is building, so that the gates of hell will not prevail over your marriage, will not prevail over your business, will not prevail over your finances, because you're part of what Jesus is building. So Jesus and heaven would like you and I to be part of the building of the church, so that your wallet, your business, your children, your family, everything is within the confines of the church. So that when the gates of hell come up against you, it cannot prevail. Because you are part of something that can never be prevailed against. And that is the church. Am I talking to somebody here? I hope you can hear my English. My accent is not so bad. So now, many people do not understand how dear the church is to the heart of God. They don't understand. Now, the word church can come from two different words. One of the words is ecclesia, means the called out ones. So that means that the church is not this building. It's you and I coming together as the called out ones. We have been called from darkness into his marvelous light. We have been called from sin into righteousness. Oh, I thought I had some people who are called out. Your neighbor is looking down. It's like they did something last night that... I want you to nudge your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I am the called out one. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So together we form the church because we have been called out of something and into a wonderful thing that is called church. Amen.
Amen.
So the church, a lot of people slander it. You know, they make people think that the church is somebody's business. Yet the church is at the core of God's agenda. So no one is more dedicated to the church than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That is why the Bible says Christ loved the church so much that he gave his life for it. I mean, the level of defense that he speaks about, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That is powerful, isn't it? So Christ loved the church so much that he gave his life for it. To this very moment, our Lord Jesus Christ is interceding for the very church. As we are talking, he's just interceding for us. No one can outdo Christ and his passion for the church. Am I talking to somebody in the house? So, anybody who disassociates himself with the church, I know you all know somebody who said, I don't need to go to church. I will watch online. God does not want you online. God wants you on site. All right. Oh, I feel like I'm about to hit something right now. So no one can outdo Christ. If you claim to be a lover of Jesus, if you claim to be a lover of God, you must be a lover of his church. You see, you can come to church and not love Jesus. But you cannot love Jesus and not love the church. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, neighbor. Do you love Jesus? If you love Jesus, guess what? You will fall in love with the church. Amen. So no one, because no one can outdo Christ's passion for the church and his dire need to see the church built, the church established and becoming the strongest influence on the face of the earth. Jesus wants to see the church, especially the love economy. This is a beautiful church. If I was in Ghana, I would be a member of this church. Because you feel the love. Oh my God. Look at your neighbor who doesn't look any, moved, and tell your neighbor, neighbor, you are in the love center. Now watch this. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2. The Bible says, now it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. Speaking about the church, this is a prophecy. You find this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 2, and you find this prophecy in Micah chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. He says that in the last days, that it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established on the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. What does that scripture mean? It means that there are over 7 mountains that they talk about. And they say that in all these mountains, entertainment, art, education, business, family, all these mountains, they are there. But the mountain that will be on top of all this mountain is the mountain of the Lord's house. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be on the top of all the other mountains. And the way for you and I to be on top of all the other mountains, it must be through the church. I must involve myself with the church. I must be part of the church. I must be involved in the establishing of the church. I must be involved in the building of the church, not the destruction of the church. So I don't know about you, but I want to be a builder of the church, not a killer of the church. So it is therefore important for the Christians of today to hold the church dear to them as Christ holds it. You see, there are people who like destroying the church because it is not dear to them. That is why they spread rumors. They spread gossip. They call for special small meetings to slander and to mock the church. Those guys cannot claim to love Jesus. Because if you love Jesus, you will love his bride. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So the church is not the building, but the people. Tell your neighbor, the people. So when you talk about love economy, you're not talking about the building. The building is nice. It's important for our establishment, but you're talking about the person seated next to you. So when you tear down love economy, you're tearing the person next to you. Oh, yes. I want you to apologize to your neighbor for anything you have ever said bad about their church. Say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Oh, some of you are not telling your neighbor, I'm sorry. You are spoiling the church. You see, you don't even want to talk to your neighbor. Talk to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, anything I've ever said against the church, I am sorry. Now, I read somewhere some years ago that a house is built by hands, but a home is built by heart. A house is built by hands, but a home is built by heart. In other words, home is where the heart is. Home is where the heart is. Therefore, the church is not only a house, but a home.
Oh.
I mean, when your bishop came up here, he said, when I come here, I'm at home. Because this is not just a church. It's home. You are not seated next to just anybody. You are seated to your brother or your sister.
Ah.
Because we are at home. Somebody shout, I'm at home.
I'm at home.
Oh, tell your neighbor. I don't know. I don't know why. Especially the guys in the middle. Are these the big shots of the church?
Yeah.
Tell your neighbor, neighbor.
Neighbor.
The church.
The church.
Love economy.
Love economy.
Is home. And tell your neighbor, the one who looks more excited, and tell them, and you, you're my brother. Now listen, the church is the house of God, but it is a home for Christians. It is where the people join their hearts together. And that is why you cannot do much in the church if your heart is not in it. Oh yes, how do you know your heart is not in something? When you come late. I'm coming. No, I'm not going back tonight. I'm going closer to where you are. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, if your heart is in something, you don't waste time on it. You come on time. Isn't it? When sit down. When your heart, let's say for example, your heart is with a woman. Sit down, I tell you something. His heart is with a woman. Ish. Now, when I was dating and courting my wife, first of all, I was never in a hurry to leave her presence. How come you're always in a hurry to leave the church? How? Tell your neighbor, it's because your heart is not at home. Yeah. Now, listen. When I was dating my beloved, I've been married for 20 years now. Yeah. I'm only 26. Now listen. We are college sweetheart kind of a thing. So I used to live outside the school and she used to live in the school. All right? I would wake up early. In the morning. All right? So that I can be in school before classes begin. So that we can pray together concerning our future. Oh, yes. And then have breakfast together. And then go to class. Wow. Now, the next thing is that I would also leave late. After classes, we would hang out with her. It would be so dark, and we used to pass through a very dark place so that I can get my trotro to go home. And guess what? We were never scared about the darkness. Because my heart was with her. If you claim that your heart is with God, if you claim that your heart is with Jesus, you cannot say that I have given my heart to Jesus, but I don't love the church. You cannot say I have given my life and my heart to Jesus, but you are late for church. You cannot say, I love Jesus, and yet you withhold your service to Jesus and to his work. That tells you that your heart is somewhere else. Have you touched your neighbor? Have you touched your neighbor? Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, where is your heart? Tell your neighbor, my heart is at home, and home is the church. Oh, I thought I'll get a hallelujah. Yes! Because the church is where the people join their hearts together. Yeah, no wonder people don't ask you where your house is. People ask you, where is your home? So when it comes to home, people ask you, who is at home? No, who is not, who is in the house? Because home is where your heart is. Oh, yes. Tell your neighbor, I'm changing my mind. I'm changing my attitude about my church. Because my church is also my home. Amen. A church is a home for Christians where hearts are knitted together to each other. All right? It is also the house of God. That's why, since the church is a home, it requires relationships. There are some of you here, you are quick to move out of the church. You are quick to destroy relationships. You are quick to tear down the church because you have no relationships. You cannot be part of the church and not, you cannot be part of the church and not relating with other believers. Amazingly, just in a conventional home, the church has different types of people. We have different age groups in the church. We have different types of eating habits in the church. Different types of sleeping habits in the church. I mean, you could be in such a church and you're sleeping at such a time. Wow. So many people have not realized the beauty. Somebody say the beauty of the church. Because the church is not a place to hurt one another. The church is not a place to kill each other. The church is not a place to tear down each other. The church is supposed to be a safe place. It is a home. We go home for safety. We go home for security. You must make Love Economy a place of security. Excuse me. You must make Love Economy a place of safety. That is why when people grow up in abusive homes, they don't like going home. If you make Love Economy an abusive place, where if you're an usher, you must be a loving usher. If you are a shepherd, you must be a loving shepherd. If you are in the music team, you must be a loving music singer. If you are sitting next to someone, you must be a loving person. They must feel safe. They must feel secure. They must feel excited to be next to you. Now, I told you to touch your neighbor. Now, shake your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, you're my brother. You're my sister. And I love you. I love you by force. Oh, I wish I had an excited people in the house. Now, lift up your hand and say, Father, thank you for the church. We are not here for your money. People think that the church is started as a business. No, it is started to give you a home, to give you relationships, to give you safety and security. Oh, yes. Now, that is why Satan hates the church. Because you will notice a habit of people desensitizing or attacking the value of the church in the society. To many countries, pastors are criticized, and the value of churches is no longer recognized. Countries where Christianity was propagated and cathedrals were being built everywhere no longer do so. These countries have become pagan countries, and churches are closing down to pave way for real estate development, for bars, and even for shopping malls. Now, I remember one time I went to the United Kingdom. It used to be the place where people loved Jesus. People lived for Jesus. But when you get there, you see today, people are depressed. People are unhappy. People are unfriendly because they have shut down something that was very, very important. And that is the church. They have closed it down. Oh, yes. They don't care about the work of God anymore. They don't care about Jesus anymore. I have heard many people asking, why should I go to church? Why is the church important? Can't we just get all these things from the comfort of our homes? Whenever someone stands to raise money to build the church, or even to preach, often you will hear dissenting voices in the crowd, and criticism will always arise. Some people have been attacking the church and claiming that the church is no longer important. In my country, I had people saying, God is a personal God. Sometimes they even quote scriptures that try to downplay the importance of the church. You will hear believers saying that God is more personal and relational. So I do not need to attend church to become a Christian. But I want to tell you that I actually agree you don't need to come to church to be a Christian. All right? I will tell you why the church is important to you. Because Christians need to understand that you also don't need to be married to be a husband. Why? Once you get married, you will soon realize that you do not need to come home every day to remain married. So you can be a Christian who doesn't go to church, but not for a long time. You can go for long trips and still remain a married man or a married woman. However, if you don't keep coming home, you will soon realize that you have lost your marriage. So people who come to church this Sunday, then they miss 3 Sundays. They come to church once a month or once in 3 months. It is just a matter of time before you cease becoming a Christian. That is why in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is in the manner of some. I'm sure you're seated next to a neighbor who doesn't come all the time. Tell them you are in the Bible. The Bible says, you should not, somebody say, you should not
forsake the habit of coming together, assembling together. Assembling together. Can you change the version? Give me. Do you have TPT version? It says, this is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. Because we need each. I can't hear you. We need each. In fact, we should come together even more eager. All right? Eager to encourage and urge each other onward. Onward, as we anticipate the day that is dawning. Amen?
Amen.
So, friends, give me a few minutes. To explain to you why the church is important to you. Actually, in our church, we have a saying that says, "My church, my life." My church, my life. You hear a lot of people say, "Oh, you're spending too much time in the church." Is it a cult? Is it this? But I'm telling you that my church is my life. Because in the church, these things begin to happen. Number one. The church. Number one. Why is the church important to you? Because the church is a place of encouragement. My church is my place of encouragement. Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. Oh, yes. My church is my place of encouragement. The Bible says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and do what? Bring glad tidings of good things." I mean, when God knows that you are living in a disheartening world, He knows that the world can be disheartening. God knows how much discouraged you are in this world. God knows how much pain is in this world. God actually knows how much darkness is in this world. That's why God gave us a place of encouragement. And that place is the church. Because if you are not inspired, you will expire. Even now, when you look at some of the neighbors you have, they look expired. Because since March, today is when they are coming to church. So they have been missing on encouragement. Because when I come to church, I come to a place of good tidings. Because one of the works of the pastor is to preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings and of good things. So a churchless person is a discouraged person. But never, ever, ever think that you are the same as someone who never goes to church. Someone who never goes to church and someone who goes to church are two different people. Because when I come to church, I receive encouragement. When I come to church, I receive inspiration. Oh, you will be surprised how far encouragement can take you. Some of you came to church with a heavy heart. Maybe your boyfriend. Yeah. has dropped you like hot cassava. And you're singing and you're saying, I've come to the end of the road. But then, I said, then you find your pastor and he begins to preach and he tells you it's not the end. Jesus is about to do something new in your life. Oh, you find the worship team and they're singing, do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Do something. Wow. Then something begins to rise. Something begins to rise. What is that thing that is rising? It's encouragement. If you are in your house and you are watching Al Jazeera, you'll be so depressed. Your boyfriend has dropped you. Israel is bombing Gaza. The city is losing value. Somebody in Suhum was killed last night. So everything around you is discouraging. But we who are in the church, we are receiving. Glad. Touch your neighbor, tell your neighbor, neighbor, my church, is a place of encouragement. Shout yes. Shout yes. Say, I love my church. I love the church because it's my place of encouragement. You see, a place, when I come to church, I'm coming to a place of exaltation. When I come to church, I am coming for refueling. Actually, in our church, we have a slogan. We say that church begins on Monday and Sunday is garage. Because I have come to church for servicing. Because the way I am, I need refueling. I need the fuel of the Holy Ghost. I need to dance. I need to speak in tongues. I need to fellowship with the brethren. And by the time I leave, and I begin to leave on Monday, I'll not be a discouraged, disgruntled child of God. I'm going to be full of excitement. That's why you can't tell me you're a Christian and you're never excited. It means there is something wrong with you. Because the kingdom of God is not just about eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and in the Holy Ghost. Hey, sound man. You're spoiling my sound. I don't know what you're doing. I think we should water this guy. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, neighbor. My church is not a place for gossip. It's a place of encouragement. I didn't come to hear who's going out with who. now listen. I have a huge anointing on my life. I have a huge vision about my life. I don't come to church to know who's having sex with who. Oh, can I say those things? I don't even want to know who bought what with what. I came because Monday is coming. And I need refueling. I need a recharge. I need to speak in tongues and charge like a battery. Because my life depends not on what people tell me. My life depends on how encouraged I am in the Lord. So God, in His wisdom, He created the church as a place of encouragement. You see, sit down, I tell you something. One day, a certain guy visited the devil's workshop. Are you sure you want to hear my story? And he found the devil servicing his equipment. He was servicing his equipment, wiping them, whatever, some for sale, some for use. If your neighbor is angry, it's because I'm about to reveal their secret in there. All right? Then he noticed that there was a weapon that Satan was holding so dear, it was just next to him. And it was old. And it was rugged. And he asked the devil, what weapon is this? Hey, this is my favorite weapon. He said, this weapon, I've used it all the time and it works. For all these years, I've used it and it works. Would you like to know the name of the weapon? Oh, okay. Only 5 people want to know. So see me after the church. Are you sure you want to know the name of the weapon? These people, the big shots in the church. Are these the children of the king and the... Are you listening to me? He said, this is my favorite weapon. Every time I use this weapon, it works. It works. It works. It works. I don't think I'll tell you the name of that weapon. No, no, no. I'll not tell you. Look, your money is finished. Are you sure you want to know the name of the weapon? Do you promise you'll not tell your neighbor? Will you keep it a secret? Anyway, come in the afternoon, I'll tell you the name. Satan told the guy, this weapon is called... I don't think I should tell you. He said, the name of the weapon. Are you ready?
Yes.
Shh. Are you ready? Say, the name of the weapon is called. Don't tell your neighbor. The name of that weapon was discouragement. He said, every time I use this weapon, it works. Yeah. Some of you, you stopped serving because you were discouraged. Some of you, you left your marriage because you were discouraged. Some of you used to give, but you became discouraged. Some of you used to sit at the front, but now you sit at the back because you are discouraged. Satan is saying, it has worked. Oh, it has worked. Satan says, in Kenya it is worked. In Ghana it is worked. My God. It has worked. Look at you. You used to be joyful. You used to see your husband and say, baby. You remove your top and you say, baby. But today, you look like a watchman in your house. You are wearing two jackets and a sweater on top of your hair. It has stopped working because you became discouraged. And when you trace your life, you see that it started when you stopped attending church frequently. The devil knew that if I can isolate you, I can attack you with my favorite weapon. And that weapon is called discouragement. So my church is my place of encouragement. Yeah. Some of you never even have known how to dress if you didn't come to church. Look, sit down. Listen, do you know why some of your neighbors cannot talk to you? Huh? Can I tell you why? Low self-esteem. Because the world has bashed them. The world has hit them. That they don't even believe. You see, it takes confidence to even talk to your neighbor. But you will only learn that if you come to church. That's when you learn how to speak to people you don't know. Because my church is my place of encouragement. All of a sudden, every time the pastor speaks, you begin to feel, oh, I'm not worthless. Oh, I'm worthy. Oh, I'm loved. Oh, I'm forgiven. Some of you, you did very bad things. Like your body count is at... Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, he's talking to me. Somebody needs to shout, yeah. I love church. It's my place of encouragement. Hey. Some of you will never have thought about flying out of this country until you enter this church. And your pastor said, one day you will travel. You will fly to Kenya. You'll go to England. Do you know what your pastor was doing? Do you know what your pastor was doing? He was encouraging you. Oh, yes. That is why David said, I was glad when they say to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Some of you are never glad when they say to you, let us go to the house of the Lord. You say, not again. But after this service, I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I said after this service, you will be glad. Say, I am glad
when they say unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. On Saturday, you'll be saying, I'm preparing myself. Oh, only 5 people are understanding what I'm saying. You'll be saying, I'm preparing myself. Tomorrow, I'm going to church. Because my church is my place of encouragement. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. You see, I'm only on point number 1. And I have like 15 points. But I'll only give you 2. Oh, yes. So that next time you call me to come and finish my other 6 points. Look at 1 Thessalonians, Amplified Version. Here, therefore, encourage, admonish, exhort one another, and edify, strengthen, and build up one another, just as you are doing. That's the work. It's not to come and tell, do you know Sister Afua? Imagine they are going out with Brother Kofi. I want to ask you a question. How is that encouraging me? I want to hear somebody coming to tell me, brother, the word of God says, you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. Yesterday, I called your pastor called me, and I told him, okay, I'm coming down. He told me, no, you can never go down. I felt encouraged. I said, I felt encouraged. He told me, you are coming downstairs. You can never go down. And I said, I can never go down. Because my church is my place of encouragement. Let me tell you, some of you, if you just change your friends, you start prospering. Because all your friends say is what you can't do. What you can't have. Statistics have shown that I think at the age of 17, you have had, you cannot do more than, I think, 300,000 times. You cannot do. Either your parents, you try to climb, they say, you can't. You try to swim, they tell you, you can't. You try to drive, they say, you can't. You said, I want to get married, they say, you can't. By the age of 17, they say you have had, I can, only, I think, either 5,000 times or something. I just forgot the whatever. Yeah, next time I'll give you the actual figures. But it's around what I'm talking to you about. So unless you come to church because you are what you hear, you are what you hear. You become what you hear. What you hear, eventually you start believing it. So if you're in a beautiful church like this, a faith-based church like this, where you start hearing them mentioning figures, we have built at the tune of these billions of cities. We have done this. We have done. So all of a sudden you begin to say, oh, I can do it. Oh, I can do it. What is happening to you? You're being stirred up. You're being admonished. You're being exalted. You're being edified. You're being strengthened. And you're being built up. So every time you miss church, you're missing an opportunity for admonishment, exhortation, and strengthening, and being built up. Number 2. Let's go to number 2. Because of time. Somebody say number two. Number two. Where is my clock? I don't even know what time. More time. Number two. My church is my place of gift activation. Gift activation. 2 Corinthians 4, number 7, New King James Version. The Bible says we have this treasure. Oh, yes. We have this treasure. Keyboard man. We have this treasure. Somebody say, I'm not empty. Say, I'm not good for nothing. I have a treasure. You see, some of you can't even say it because the way Satan has beaten you, even when we say you have a treasure, you say, they are lying. But I'm here to tell you, you have this treasure. Oh, yes. You are an heir, but you have this. You are a fanti, but I have this. Oh, my God. You're a woman, but I have this. You come from the village. Like even the people from the village, they say your place is a village. But I heard, my God, you come from poverty. Even the poor call you poor. But I heard, if I were you, I'll look for five people and tell them, I have a treasure. I have a treasure. Oh, I'm not empty. I have a treasure. My God. My God. Look for somebody and tell them, I have a treasure. I have gifts. I have anointings. The world is looking for me. My country is looking for me. That is why Paul told Timothy, stir up the gifts. Stir up the gifts. Where did you receive the gift? In the church. Through the laying on of hands. That is why Satan hates it when you come to church, because the church is a place where your gifts will be activated. My God, touch your neighbor, tell your neighbor, I heard this treasure. Some of you, you didn't know that you can be a husband until you came to the church. You didn't know you can be a wife until you came to the church. You didn't know you can be a great businessman until you came to the church. You didn't know you can preach until you came into the church. You didn't know you can sing until you came to the church. Somebody said, yeah. I said, shout, yeah. When I came to church, my gift was not only activated, it was identified. Look, in your family, they say your head is like a cassava. You are useless. You are good for nothing. But when you came to church, we told you can play an instrument. You can be an usher. You can cook. You can come and give announcements. Your gift was activated through the identification that took place from your pastor. If you were just galamsing all the outside and moving around, nobody ever thought you can do anything. Look at your face. Even you don't think you can do anything. But when I came to the church, I said, when I came to the church, I realized that the Bible says, I have this treasure in earthen vessels. Oh yes, I'm not good for nothing. I'm not useless. I'm not just a thing that is existing. I have. What do you have? I have. Oh my God, I feel like preaching in here. After this service, your treasure will be stirred up. Your gift will be stirred up. Your power will be stirred up. Your anointing will be stirred up. Because I heard. This treasure. If your neighbor is not excited, shake them a little bit and tell them, there is something. Tell them it's inside of you. It's inside of you. Tell your neighbor, neighbor.
Neighbor.
I am not a local champion. I am international. Because I have. I have. This treasure. I am a Katusha Haba. Sit down. I need to finish now. You see, let me tell you something. I was considered useless. One time my father came home and he saw me opening the door, the gate for his car. And he was next to my mother. My mother was next to him. And he said, oh my God, this boy is a liability. Because I'd been suspended from school. So many times. That when we closed, he didn't know that we had closed. He thought I had been suspended again. He said I was so useless. But then I gave my life to Christ. And I went to the church. And as I continued being in the church, I realized something was happening to me. You see, God doesn't even give you a gift. He has already placed it in you. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I appointed you. I ordained you. That is why Satan fights you tooth and nail to make sure that you're not anywhere where you'll be exposed to yourself. Because the work of the church is to bring Christ to you, who reveals you to yourself.
what he has placed in you. So I started going to church every weekend, every week. I was in church. I was serving God. I was praying. We used to pray during the day because there's nothing else to do. We keep praying and praying, and we look like we had lost it. But look at me now. I'm here in Kumasi because of the gift that God gave to me. Someone who was called a liability, a useless thing. Today, my father says, if you want anything to happen in this home, because I don't come from a poor family, so I didn't preach because I needed something to do. Are you listening to me? When I was born, there was a Mercedes-Benz in our home. Are you listening to me? So when my father, when they call and they say, we want to do this, we want to do this, they are told, talk to Jimmy. Where he's the chairman of this family. The gift, he's the head of the family. Let him decide whether he's available or whatever. You can't plan without him. Somebody that my father looked at and said, you are a liability. I remember when I wanted a girl to marry. There was this lady in our estate. Do you have estates in this? Oh my God, she was hot. Someone needs to be shocked. Are you shocked? So I remember. Sit down, I tell you the story. Because I'm speaking to someone about the church is a place for your gift activation. So I was just a Christian boy who loves the Lord. So nothing much was showing. So I used to be in my shorts and my vest, and I stood outside my mother's house, and the lady passed, and I called her. I say, hey. I want you to be my girlfriend. I'll not tell you the story because... Are you sure you want to hear the story? So, Bishop, should I continue or should I stop? Okay, Bishop says it's time to go. So I remember she looked at me. You know, girls can be nasty. My God, you can be nasty. Nasty. I'm here to encourage a boy, a young man. Don't worry if they reject you. Because I have this treasure. Yeah. So she looked at me. Sit down, I tell you the story. I'm about to finish. Especially girls with glasses. A young man here who has a great treasure, a great destiny, you can approach a lady with glasses and she'll just look at you like this and say, Quab, and say, Quabena. Anyway, this lady, when I told her, she looked at me from toe. And from the top to the... What do you call that thing in Ghana? Eh? Sizing. Yeah, so she checked me out. And she laughed. And you know...
Listen. Look, you guys, you need to listen. I need to finish my work. Anyway. Sips drink. She laughed. And you know, the lady can laugh in such a way that you damage the heart of the man. Forever and ever. Until they come to love economy and then find Bishop Isaac encouraging them. Ish. So the lady, she laughed. You know the bad laughter, like the laughter to finish you. And then she called my name. She said, Jimmy, we can only be friends. She said, me and you? Wow. Man, I was discouraged. However, I continued. I went to Bible school. I started my thing. I got married, actually. After, she was still in the neighborhood, watching me. I would pass her. I mean, would still say, hi. Then, just like a few. Because this gift that God has put in you, it will take you places. The gift is where your car is where your money is where your house is where everything you need is. And Satan knows it, and he doesn't want you to come to church to hear that. So maybe 3 or 4 years later, I had married. I remember I was driving. I was going to visit my mother. I was driving my E350. I have this treasure. By the way, that car was this color. Was the color, this color. When the sun comes out, it turns dark. It was long. It had nice Harman Kardon speakers. And I was listening to my music. Hey. See you in the future, my God. Sit down. Hey, you people, sit down. I need to finish. I see you as you realize your gifts, and as you stay in the church, and your gift is activated. All those things you used to see on TV. Cars, houses, you will see yourself practically walking in them. If you believe it, shout your loudest amen. But now, that's not the story. So I turned towards my mom's house. Because I'm going to visit my mother. So I'm just, you know, when there are some cars you don't drive like you are being chased all the time. You don't drive, you glide. I see you gliding. Wow. So, I'm driving slowly and easy because I need to see my mates and say hello. So when I turned, guess who I saw? Do you want to know her name? Her name is Mind Your Own Business. So when I turned, I saw her. And this car was in such a way that when you see it, you actually stop. And you start admiring it. So I came easy. Easy. All the windows are up. All the windows are tinted. Leather seats. When I drew closer to mind your own business, I slowed down and I rolled down the window. Somebody who used to despise you, they will see you in your Range Rover. I think I should go home. I slowed down. I rolled down the window. When you're driving those cars, you don't roll down the window to the end. You just go halfway. And guess what? The lady who refused me when I looked like nothing. Mind your own business. She looked at me and then she shouted my name. He said, Jimmy. She said, wow. She was wearing her slippers. She was still living in her mother's house. She had just come from buying milk. And I was coming to visit my mother. Because I have this. I have this treasure. That treasure, God had used it. And he had brought me to a place where he had removed my shame. Yeah. And she said, oh my God, is that you? I said, yeah, baby. Look what the Lord has done. You guys, I love your band. I see you going places. Shout yeah. And guess what she said to me? She said to me, Jamie, I'd like to come to your church. Because all of a sudden, she began to see the glory. You see, some of you are sitting in the middle. Some of you are sitting at the back. Some of you are even at the front. But nobody sees the glory. Because the gift is in earthen vessels. It's hidden. And you must need a man of God, a church, where within a short time, some of you, your work is to just sweep the church. Some of you, nobody knows you. Nobody understands you. Nobody hears you. You just come and clean. You join the speakers. You do just things. But in the joining of the speaker is a greatly endowed young woman, young man. Some of you just cooked tea. But all you didn't know is that God had to bring you into the church so that your gift will be identified and then it will be activated.
It is activated by the hearing of the word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. And as you keep on hearing, something is happening in you. Something is boiling in you. Something begins to tell you, you're not ordinary. You're not an ordinary person. You're extraordinary. You can do more. There is something about your life, and God is just stirring it up. And in the next 5 years, you will just blow up, and everybody will wonder, where did this one come from? And you will say, I've been in the house of the Lord. God has been working on me. God has been stirring me up. God has been changing me. God has been renewing my mind through the hearing of the word. And now I'm ready to enter into the world and manifest. Because remember, the creation is groaning. They're expecting your manifestation. And if you're the one that I'm talking about, I want you to shout hallelujah. I want you to say, Lord, Lord, keep me in your house. Don't allow anybody to remove you from the house. Because the house of God is a place of gift activation. Don't allow any gossiper to remove you from the house. Don't allow anybody to come and tell you, have you heard? Oh, this church, it looks like these are the guys who da, da, da. Tell them, shut up. I'm like Samuel. I'm like David. David said that I will in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I will stay in there. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than be in the tent of the wicked. I'd rather stay here and be here and stay here and be here for 1,000 years and just be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to live my life elsewhere. Don't allow a man, a sponsor. I don't know what you call them in this. Do you call them sponsor? Yeah, sugar daddy, to pull you out of the church. Because once they're through with you, they'll drop you like a hot cassava. Oh, that's because of iPhone? Fried rice? Indomie? Oh Lord, I want to stay in your house all the days of my life. I want to stay in your house. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek, I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I look stupid, but I'd rather be in the house. I look like nothing is happening in my life, but I'm staying in the house. Because in the house, my gift will be activated. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Just before I came, I gave one of my pastors a car. Somebody who used to have nothing. I just told my pastor, come, I'm traveling, take the car. This is your car from now on. Drive. You'll say, oh, I can't believe it. I say, yeah. There's a year they gave me over 13 cars because of my gift. 13 cars. I mean, what can you do with 13 cars? So I used to get the car and say, come, drive your car. Come, drive the car. Oh, yes. My gift has made room for me. Yeah. One time I was in the house of the deputy president. I'd taken Auntie Mame there to have dinner. We were there, my wife, Auntie Mame, and one more lady, just to have dinner with her. Somebody who used to be in the estate. Somebody whose father used to say, you're good for nothing. Just because I gave my life to Christ and I stayed in the church, and I found out my gift. Yeah. I'm not as gifted as your pastor. I mean, I've done Bible school. So I don't have business, anything. I'm not a chemist. I'm not. Amen. My grades, because I was a very bad boy in school. So by the time I was getting saved, it was exam time. So I have no time to arrange myself to get A plus and A and B's and whatever. So I can't even tell you what I got. Yeah. Oh, yes. But there is a treasure. That treasure. That treasure. I said that treasure. That treasure is inside of you. Stay in the house. Stay in the house of the Lord. Oh, yes. Let me finish. Number three. I'll finish with number three. Now, which one will I say? Which one will I? Let me say this. Church is a place of sacrifice. Okay? My church is a place of sacrifice. Yeah. And number four, my church is a place of prayer. Prayer. Sacrifice and prayer. Yeah. You see, God does not call you to sacrifice everywhere. No. He has prepared a place for you to sacrifice. If you are from love economy, this is where God wants you to sacrifice. In your church. Not in some Nigerian church. Oh, the church is quiet. When you're not in this church, when you're online, you keep saying, prophesy, Papa. Prophesy, Papa. And your pastor is here. The church is quiet. Isaiah 56 verse 7 and Deuteronomy chapter 12 verse 13. The Bible says, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. This is the place where our burnt offerings are our CDs, our dollars. That is where one time, one of the things that I did, I became a dangerous giver. One time I had just been given, I was a youth pastor in my church, and I'd been given money, like stipend, something to survive on. And I had put it in my jacket, my inside pocket. And we were standing in the service. And a friend of mine who was preaching as a prophet came to me and he started touching. He was just saying, Jimmy, you need to sow a seed of this much. And he's just, he doesn't know that the money is there. I've just been given, it's on an envelope. He said, you need to give a seed of this much. He was just touching like this. So I turned to my wife. I said, that was the only money that we had. Because sacrifice is not sacrifice unless it pains you. So I turned to my wife and I have a wild wife. My wife can give everything. I think sometimes it can even give me away. Like she's wild in giving. Yeah. So I leaned towards her. I said, you see, we have to give. Then she said, yes. She never said, oh, why? How? How will I survive? How will it? No. She used to say, yes. Every time I tell her, I feel like God is putting in my heart, we should remove all the money in the account. I've done that several times. I've saved. Then God comes and says, I want you to give everything and I have to give it. Is that the right way of using the word? I've saved. Then I have to give it. Yeah. All of it.
I'm telling you, I put the money there. When I put the money on the altar like this, the Lord said, that's the last level you'll ever be on. I have not transacted in my spiritual life with my education. I have transacted with spiritual transactions. And one of them is money giving. I remember one time God spoke to me. I used to have a muso sangyong. All right? Sangyong. Muso. I don't know whether they are there now. But it's a 4x4. It's big. It's nice. As I was driving it, the Lord said, give this car away. I said, Satan, I know your voice. Yeah. I bind you. I fold you into 5 pieces. Come out. Then when I finished the prayer, the Lord said, give me your car. Because I had just come from praying and saying, Lord, what can I do to show you that I love you? Then I heard a voice saying, give me your car. My church is my place of sacrifice. Some of you, if you want to know how your future looks like, look at your cousins, your mother, your brother, and decide whether that's what you want. If that's not what you want, begin your uncles, begin to transact spiritually so that you can climb out of your family quagmire and dilemmas and troubles and end. So I stayed with the car for like a month arguing with God. And one time a lady called me and said, I would like to see you urgently. So I said, hey, nobody tells me they want to see me urgently. Because your emergency is not my emergency. But I just decided, okay, let me go and see her. So as I was driving the same car, I was passing a certain hill. And the Lord asked me, what is this that you are holding? Rubber, plastic, and some few metals. Give me, and I'll show you. That day was the day I said, Lord, as I come back, I'll come straight and give the car to the person that you told me I should give it to. I'll be using Trotro. I have no other car. I'll give it to you. Hey. When I got to where the meeting was, the lady came with a brown envelope. She said, I can't sleep. When I turn on the TV, the message is for me. When it's news, the message is for me. Like her message. And she said, this is the logbook. I don't know what you call it here. Like the title for the car. God has told me to give your wife, not even me, your wife, this car. So I brought the papers to you as a sign that the car is your wife's. And then you organize how the car will be picked. I don't want it in my compound. I was shocked. So I didn't even know how the car looks like. Anyway, so when I came back, I called my wife and said, you have a car. Then when I came back, I told her, we are now taking this car to where I told God to, I'll give this car. We drove it to the pastors that God had spoken to us. We gave it to them. We took an Uber, I don't know, taxi back to the house. Then after a few days, the other car came. So now my wife used to give me lift. Now that was the beginning of me living miraculously, because the next car I got now was a Mercedes Benz, which I bought for almost nothing. I went to see the car, then the amount of money the guy was asking for, I said, no, I don't have that money. I actually just laid hands on the car. I said, this is my car in the name of Jesus. And I left. 4 months later, the man called me and said, because he told me, tomorrow somebody's coming for this car. So if you don't have that money, it's okay, it's okay. So I just laid hands and said, this is my car. So 4 months he called me. He said, what did you do? He said, Pastor, what did you do to this car? He said, come. I told him, no, I don't know. I've just been blessed with a baby. I'm not even thinking about cars. He said, please come. Then I went. Then he asked me, what do you have? So I said some wild figure just to make him angrier. Guess what? He said, bring it. That is how I left with a Mercedes Benz. Spiritual transaction. If I was never in the church, I'll never know that I can do that. It's by being in the church that I have done spiritual transaction by laying sacrifices on the altar. I say, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. So it's a place of prayer and it's a place of sacrifice. Give me the last scripture as I conclude. Deuteronomy 13, verse 13. So if you're here, your work is to say, these people, it is always about money. It's always about giving. Brother, because I feel like it's a brother. Can I tell you something? Before you came, we were... It's not your money we have been waiting for. So look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. Neighbor, I'm a giver. I sacrifice. Take heed. Look at that. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offering in every place that thou seest. Hey, you go on Facebook. A prophet is saying, I see a lady. You are in Kumasi. You write, prophesy, Papa. Prophesy, Papa. Papa, I'm sending Momo. Papa, I'm go deeper, Papa. Let me tell you, God does not want you to throw all your sacrifices anywhere. You must look for the place where He has chosen for you. And I want to tell you something as I bring my message to a close. That you, I said you. I feel like I should finish, but I said you have been planted in love economy. And guess what? You are not here by accident. You are not even here because you like Bishop Isaac. God looked at you. He saw all your problems. And He said, the man that I have anointed for you, who has raised an altar and the altar that is going to help you, is Bishop Isaac. So He drew your heart. Because the Bible says, no one comes unto me unless the Lord draws them. So God has drawn you into this church. Some of you, you are not even understanding. Why are they shouting? Where are they standing? Oh, the time is 2 years to understand. Oh, I can preach for 2 years. Listen. Some of you, you are here. Listen to me carefully. You don't even understand why you are wondering. Somebody just invited. You are not here by mistake. You are not even sure you like this culture of shouting because you come from a very religious and happy place. You think that the way you walk and you think that God doesn't like noise and you should not disturb God and whatever. But I want to tell you something. It is God who drew you here. And even though now you don't understand, if you stay
and you keep on coming, one day I'll come to preach. You'll be the one jumping here and saying, preach, preach. Because something will happen to you. I said, something will happen to you. One of my noisiest ladies in the church, when she first came to church, she said, this church is too noisy. Why are they shouting all the time? Even today, when I was listening to her, she's a singer. I wanted to send her a message and say, you are noisy. Because the way she was even saying, that's noise, she's noisy. After some time, she was changed. Yeah, look at you the way you are. Yeah. Quiet. Since we came, you have not opened your mouth. Your mouth is even smelling. But I want to tell you something. I want to tell you, I got a story to tell you. You are not here by accident. The Lord has drawn you. From you, I want you to tell your neighbor, the Lord has drawn you. The Lord has drawn you. I'm not here by accident. Some people joining me. Change. Somebody say a change, a shift in your finances. Can I prophesy? Sheba Balanda Kalaba Teleba. In the next 12 months, there will be a shift in your thinking, a shift in your experiences. Oh, shilabadabada, lekalabadabada. Lift up your voice, speak in a new tongue. Oh, shilala bada 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 bada. 12 months. I sound a prophetic word. Oh,
For listening, we pray that the word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless.